I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is so good to see you, all of you, in the house of the Lord this morning. And we particularly like to welcome all our friends here, those who are here for the first time or maybe the second time. We pray that we hope that you will stay back and fellowship with us after the worship service. We'll be very, very happy to meet up with you and to get to know you better. So please fellowship with us and don't go away after the worship service. We are very, very happy and delighted to have you with us this morning. Now the subject this morning, and before I go on, I hope that you will all pay attention as I speak. All right, please do not turn on your phone or please do not look at other things. Please focus your attention on the Word of God as we go into His Word. All right, the message this morning is following the Lord wholeheartedly. Following the Lord wholeheartedly. And we are talking about this man called Caleb. Now, when we talk about Joshua, we must talk about Caleb. Yes, another great hero of the faith, and he was a veteran warrior. Now, in my preparation of my notes, I said he was a war veteran. That's not true, actually. All right, if you read the account in Joshua, in the book of Joshua, it would be more correct to say that he was a veteran warrior. He was a veteran warrior because he didn't stop fighting until a very, very good age. There is no record that he ever stopped fighting. Now, not long after the children of Israel came out of the land of Egypt, they came to this place known as Kadesh Barnea, from which place they sent out 12 spies to scout the promised land. Now, all of them came back with one piece of good news. And by the way, they were out in the promised land, they scouted the promised land for 40 days and 40 nights. And all of them came back with one piece of good news. And that was that the land of Canaan, the promised land, was filled with milk and honey. But 10 of them also brought back along with them bad news. They said the land was not conquerable because it was occupied by giants, the Anakims, and they had cities that had walls that reached up to heaven. So the place was not conquerable as far as they were concerned because they didn't look at the promised land with eyes of faith. But Joshua and Caleb came back with absolutely good news. They said that the land was absolutely conquerable. But the bad news spread by these 10 spies was so discouraging that the children of Israel refused to move into the promised land to possess the promised land which the Lord asked them to possess. Yes, they lacked faith, and as a result of their lack of faith, they were filled with disobedience, and so they refused to enter into the promised land. Now look at what Caleb said in the face of the refusal of the children of Israel to go into the promised land. Now, the refusal was not a tame refusal. It was something that was very violent and very riotous. Right? Now, look at Numbers chapter 13, verses 30, and look at Numbers 13 and verse 30. All right? And you see how Caleb faced this strong refusal of the children of Israel to move into the promised land. Numbers 13:30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Now then you go on to Numbers 14 and verse 5. All right, Numbers 14 and verse 5. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel because they simply refused to obey the one true living God to go in and enter the promised land and conquer it. They refused, and the refusal was very violent. Verse 6, and Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, ran their clothes. They searched the land in that they were the spies who went along with the other 10 spies to scout the promised land. And verse 7, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it, the land which we scouted or spied, is an exceeding good land. And verse 8, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Verse 9, only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But look at verse 10. But all the congregation stoned them with stones. You see how violent they were. Yes, stoned them with stones. They wanted to stone Joshua and Caleb. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. Now, look at what happened 45 years later, all right? 45 years later, we have this record given to us in Joshua chapter 14. Now remember, this was 45 years later, after they scouted the promised land, after the children of Israel refused to enter into the promised land. And by the way, because they refused to enter into the promised land, God had to hand down his punishment upon them. And so all the adults who were 20 years and above at the time when they left the land of Egypt were condemned to die in the wilderness wandering. Now look at 45 years later, we have this record given to us in Joshua chapter 14. Now Caleb by now was 85 years old. The promised land had now been distributed to the 12 tribes of Israel. Remember, they had conquered the promised land led by Joshua. Now the land was distributed among the 12 tribes of Israel, or should I say 9.5 tribes, because 2.5 tribes occupied the east bank of the River Jordan, and the other 9.5 tribes occupied the west bank. So, strictly speaking, the land was divided among the 9.5 tribes of the children of Israel, and the land was divided by lot. And each tribe, of course, had to further subdivide the land. And then before the land was further apportioned, Caleb came before Joshua. All right, now he came before Joshua. Remember, Joshua was the leader. He was Caleb was the warrior, old warrior, now coming before Joshua to make his claim of the land, which Moses had promised him 45 years earlier. All right, look at verse 9. And Moses, he was saying this to Joshua. All right, Caleb was saying this to Joshua. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thy inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. So he came and claimed this piece of land. Now let us understand that the piece of land that he was claiming for was not one that was easily conquerable. It was the land that was occupied by giants, occupied by the Anakims, that had struck fear in the hearts of the children of Israel 45 years earlier. That made them refuse to enter into the promised land. But now here Caleb came and said to Joshua, I want to claim this piece of land which Joshua promised to give to me. Now look at verse 12. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, drive out the giants, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Now he still had to fight for the piece of land, right? It was the enemies were not completely cleared up yet, and so he was going in to conquer that piece of land. Now the question for all of us is, why was Caleb such a great hero of the faith? Why was he so courageous? My dear friends, he was so because he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. The word of God says he wholly followed the Lord. You know how many times the word of God said he wholly followed the Lord? 4 times. All right, I prove to you. You look at Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 16. All right, now Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 36. All right, now this was something that was Moses was talking about, and this was something that Moses recounted, and the incident that took place 45 years earlier. All right? Listen to what the Lord said unto unto him, all right, unto Caleb. Okay, said unto him, said about him, rather, what the Lord said about Caleb. Verse 36, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. You see, save, accept the son of Jephunneh. You see, all the adults who were 20 years and above that came out of the land of Egypt would not be able to enter into the promised land, except Joshua and Caleb. And so the Lord said, save Caleb, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children. Why? Because he hath wholly followed the Lord. So one time, right? He had wholly followed the Lord. Then look at Joshua chapter 14, verse 8. Now you turn back to Joshua chapter 14, verse 8. Now this was Joshua's own testimony now. Right? He said to, this was Caleb's own testimony. Chapter 14, verse 8. Caleb says, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Remember, his fellow spies, they made the children of the heart of the children of Israel melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. Now, this was his own testimony. Then you look at Joshua chapter 14, verse 9. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord. So three times. All right, now look at the fourth time, Joshua 14:14. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord of Israel. He wholly followed the Lord of Israel. So four times in all these words are said of Caleb. He wholly followed the Lord. Now if the Lord were to say once that Caleb wholly followed the Lord, that would have been good enough, right? But the Lord said it four times. The Lord said it four times because he wants to make it loud and clear for us that Caleb was highly honored by the one true living God to be a man who wholly followed the Lord. And the Lord was obviously very pleased with him. And so the Lord rewarded him with the inheritance which Moses promised to him, that piece of land that he said, I would want to conquer. Now, although what Caleb received was an earthly inheritance, the account of Caleb is meant to teach us spiritual lessons, one of which is, if we follow the Lord wholeheartedly, we will be rewarded. Yes, just as Caleb was rewarded, we will be rewarded also. Not necessarily physically, but spiritually. Now, Caleb, of course, as we said, received an earthly inheritance. But what the Lord wants to teach us is that what we receive will be a heavenly reward, which is, of course, far, 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 far better than any earthly reward. An earthly reward is only temporal. It is corrupt. The early reward is corruptible. It is subject to wear and tear. And for sure, no matter how great, no matter how valuable it is, we will not be able to carry it along with us when we leave this earth. So friends, what do we desire of the Lord? What kind of reward do we want to have from the Lord? What do we want to have from him? I trust, my dear friends, all of us desire to have this reward from the Lord. And that is that on the day of reckoning, we will be able to hear him say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into my joy. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. I trust, my dear friends, that is the reward that all of us are looking forward to. And beside that, if the Lord is very gracious to us, let us also be looking forward to a crown that he might put on our head. Now, what kind of, on that day, when we see him face to face, what kind of reward will we be expecting to have? Now, let us be looking forward to the day when we see him face to face, when we will be able to hear him say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But the point is, what must we be doing, or what can we do, or what must we be doing so that we will be blessed richly, so that we will be sure of hearing him say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." First, we must be following the Lord wholeheartedly, something which I've already spoken about, so I will not elaborate further. But I like to talk about showing what it means to follow the Lord wholeheartedly. What does it mean to follow the Lord wholeheartedly? And then finally, the rewards of following him wholeheartedly. Now first, what is meant by following the Lord wholeheartedly? Or how do we show that we are following the Lord wholeheartedly? 45 years earlier, after they spied the promised land, only Caleb and Joshua dared to stand up for the Lord on the side of the one true living God to say that the land was conquerable. So how did Caleb show himself that he was following the Lord wholeheartedly? He showed that through his great moral courage. He and Joshua were the only ones who stood on the side of the one true living God to dare say that the land is conquerable. The whole of Israel, at least all those who were 20 years and above, opposed them. Of course, with the exception of Moses and Aaron. So we are talking about a minority of four persons against the rest of adult Israel. Now, the opposition, as we said, was very, very riotous. It was very very violent. The book of Numbers tells us that the people actually wanted to stone Joshua and Caleb. Now, I'm sure we see on television the kind of riotous mob that can be very, very murderous. Yes, they would not hesitate to kill. And that was the kind of mob that Caleb had to face on that day. Yes, but he stood firm on the side of the one true living God. Now, if Caleb was not courageous, he would have taken the easy way out and would have gone the way of the other 10 spies. And he would possibly be saying this: "Why do I want to cause so much trouble? Why do I want to cause so much disunity? Why do I want to be so unpopular? Let me play to the gallery. Just say what they want to hear. Just do what they want me to do." Now, isn't this the position taken by many politicians who lack moral courage? Yes, what they want to do, or what they want to be able to do or to be, is to be politically correct. Now, I speak to leaders in our church, all leaders in our church, fellowship leaders, Sunday school teachers, and my fellow session members. Yes, are we wholly following the Lord? If we say that we are, then we must be morally courageous, just like Caleb was, to stand on the side of the one true living God and to stand based on the word of God. Let us not be afraid to say that which is true, and let us be sure that we are standing on the side of righteousness. Now, in the process of doing so, of course, we can become very, very unpopular. One time, I actually heard this said by a leader in a certain church. Yes, it was said by him. I heard what he said with my own ears. All right. He was supposed to say something that was right, but he was too scared to say it. And so he said this: "I had better not say it. Now, if I were to say it, I'm sure I'm going to lose votes in the upcoming election," because he was looking forward to the next election to be re-elected into holy office. My dear friends, surely this man was not fit for holy office. Surely he was not fit to lead the church. Why? Because he showed it very, very clearly that he was not one who had moral courage. He was not one who was following the Lord wholeheartedly. Now, for all of us, being morally courageous often means that our conduct and our behavior must be different from those of people in the world. Yes, many a time. Yes, in many situations, our behavior and our conduct must be different from people in the world. What are the moral standards of people in the world? Now, the moral standards of the people in the world are very often influenced by famous people, by celebrities, and whose moral standards are actually quite detestable based on the laws of God. Their adulterous conduct and behavior are gossiped about and sensationalized and glamorized. And people in the world adore such celebrities, and therefore it is not surprising at all that they would have moral standards that are influenced by celebrities. Now, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we must want to follow the Lord wholeheartedly. This means that we must be morally courageous to oppose such standards. And in the course of doing so, we might become very unpopular or we might become isolated. Now, young people are particularly influenced through the mass media and through the social media. Many might say, everybody is doing it, why not we? All right, and what they are talking about is actually very often premarital sex. Everybody is doing it, why can't we be doing it? In fact, they might feel that they are being abnormal if they didn't engage themselves in premarital sex. Now, I understand that in the U.S., many young people look forward to what is known as the prom night, because that's the night that they expect to have their sexual experience, and perhaps the first one also. Now, my dear friends, my question to you is, do you dare to be different? Do you dare to stand on the side of righteousness to follow the Lord Jesus Christ wholly and say, Lord, I will absolutely obey your command and be pure for you? You might be in the minority. You might be looked upon as being abnormal. You might be laughed at. You might be isolated. You might be ridiculed. But would you please the Lord, or would you please the crowd around you? Now, it is not only in the area of sex that we must stand up for the Lord. We must stand up for the Lord on the side of righteousness in every area of our lives. Now, take, for example, our work ethics. Now, you could be working in an office in which people generally do not pull their weight. Some of them just work to fill up the time. Now, haven't we seen this in the office? There you be morally courageous and be different from your colleagues in the office, because you recognize that you have a higher boss, not just the boss in the office, but you have a higher boss in the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You want to work to please him. Now, in the course of doing so, in the course of pleasing the Lord, yes, you might be frowned upon by your colleagues. You might be isolated by them. But my dear friends, if you are in such a situation, would you dare say, so be it. My desire is to please the Lord. I will want to stand up for the Lord. Yes, if I'm opposed, so be it. Yes, I want to wholeheartedly follow the Lord. Now, Caleb was also one who showed he was following the Lord through his faith in the Lord. Now, you remember the other 10 spies did not see the promised land with eyes of faith. What they saw were giants, in whose eyes they said they were like grasshoppers. They saw the land as being unconquerable. Only Caleb and Joshua saw the promised land with eyes of faith. They were the only ones who said, the land is conquerable. The people are bred for us. And because of their faith, Caleb and Joshua were rewarded with the privilege of entering into the promised land. And then Joshua was given the privilege to lead the children of Israel to conquer the promised land, while Caleb was rewarded with the privilege to be a mighty warrior for the next 45 years in the conquest of the land. The rest of Israel, 20 years and above, when they came out of the land of Egypt, were condemned to die in the wilderness wandering. Because of what? Because of their unbelief. My dear friends, unbelief is a very, very serious sin. Because if we are guilty of unbelief, you know what actually we are saying God is. We are saying that God is a liar. That's what it means if you are filled with unbelief. Friends, are your hearts filled completely with unbelief? I'm saying completely. In other words, you are wholly not following the Lord at all. You do not believe that Jesus came to die for your sins. You do not believe that Jesus shed his precious blood for you on the cross of Calvary. You do not believe that Jesus rose up from the dead. And you do not believe that if you came to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, you will have everlasting life. And you do not care to want to repent from your sins. Now, if you are filled with such unbelief, just remember what happened to the unbelieving children of Israel. They were condemned to wander in the wilderness, wandering for the next 40 years. And then what happened? All the adult Israelites who were 20 years and above were condemned to die in the wilderness, wandering. Friends, if you are filled with total unbelief, judgment for you will be worse than that. The condemnation, if you choose not to repent from your sins, is eternal. Yes, you will be eternally separated from the one true living God. And your final destination is hell, followed by the lake of fire, where you will be tormented day and night for all eternity. My dear friends, that is if your heart is completely filled with unbelief. No belief in the Lord Jesus Christ at all. Now, as a believer, I'm talking to believers now. Now, as a believer, you might also not be following the Lord wholeheartedly. Your life is characterized by belief and also by unbelief. Yes, you do not believe that you should place your life absolutely and completely in the hands of the one true living God, for example. And you would want to manipulate your life. You do not care to read God's word regularly. You do not care to pray to the Lord without ceasing. You prefer to manage your own life rather than allow the Lord to manage your life. Now, for example, when it comes to the observance of the Lord's Day, you then trust the Lord that if you keep the Lord's Day holy and not do your own thing and not do your own pleasure and then not trample the Lord's Day under your feet, the Lord is going to bless you. Yes, you do not dare trust the Lord that he will bless you if you keep the Lord's Day the way he wants you to keep. Then you will still want to do your own thing. You want to do your own secular work. You want to do your studies. You want to do your business on the Lord's Day. Friends, if you do not honor him on the Lord's Day and thus do not follow him wholeheartedly, how do you expect the Lord to bless you? How? My dear friends, he's not going to bless you if you do not obey him the way he wants you to obey him. His word is clear. 6 days shall thou work, as far as observance of the Lord's Day is concerned. 6 days you work hard and real hard, but you must reserve the Lord's Day for him and for him only. If you did that, his promise to you is that you will be riding in high places. You will not be crawling in low places. In other words, you will be on top of all things. The book of Isaiah tells us that, Isaiah 58 tells us that, we will not be crawling in low places. You'll be on top of things, and then you will be able to manage your affairs well and not be overwhelmed by them instead. So you see, if you obey the Lord, observe the Lord's Day the way he wants you to observe, and not try to manipulate your life, my dear friends, that is the kind of blessings that you will receive from the Lord. Now, Caleb followed the Lord wholly, in that he was obedient. Yes, look at Numbers 14, verse 9. All right, Numbers 14, verse 9. Numbers 14, verse 9. He urged the people of Israel. All right, he said this. Only, verse 9, only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. He said, don't rebel against the Lord. Obey him. The words of the Lord to the children was simply this: go in and possess the land. And that is exactly, or that was exactly what Caleb and Joshua would have done. They wanted to do that very much, and that is what they would have done had not the entire nation of Israel refused to get into the promised land. Yes, my dear friends, that's the only way for us to really follow the Lord. No other way, and that is to follow him with obedience to his word. Now, obeying the Lord is crucial. Yes, it's crucial. We may be active in our church work. We may be active in Sunday school teaching. We may be active in leading fellowships and in doing so many things. And sometimes we might feel that we are sacrificing a lot. But remember this. Remember what the Lord says in 1 Samuel chapter 15. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Obedience is crucial. To obey is better than sacrifice. Now, we can't pull wool over the Lord's eyes if we appear to be actively and sacrificially serving him while we are living lives that are breaking the Lord's law, the Lord's laws. In other words, we are living a life of disobedience. Or we might appear to be serving the Lord zealously, but secretly, you know, we are just wanting honor and praises from people around us. It appears that we are serving him, honoring him. But what's the desire in our heart? The desire in our heart is to have honor and praises from people around us. Or we might appear to be very caring, but secretly, we might be harboring dislike and even hatred for certain people in the church. My dear friends, the truth is we can't hide anything from the one true living God. He knows we are disobedient if we are disobedient. He knows whether we are following him wholeheartedly or not. But friends, we must be following him wholeheartedly. And the way to show that we are following him wholeheartedly is by our obedience to him. Now, we might disobey in another way. Now the Lord has given us talents to serve. The talent could be to teach Sunday school. But we would not want to do so, do not want to teach, because we know that teaching Sunday school involves time and involves preparation, and we are not prepared to give the time, and we are not prepared to make the preparation. Friends, he has called us to serve, but we are not willing to serve. That is disobedience. Then we also know that it is our duty, our holy duty, to come to the church prayer meeting to pray. We know that the Lord, the Lord's work needs our prayer support, but we are not willing to come to the church prayer meeting to pray, even though the Lord has given us the time, even though the Lord has given us the energy, and even though he has given us the strength to do so. But what do we prefer to do on a Friday evening? We prefer to slump down in our favorite armchair in our living room and watch the television. Surely, my dear friends, we are not following the Lord wholly if we are not making use of the talents that he has given to us. We are simply being disobedient to him. And if we are disobedient to him, we are definitely not following the Lord wholeheartedly. Now, Caleb also showed that he was wholly following the Lord through his faithfulness. Now, at the age of 85, he was still raring to go for the Lord. Look at Joshua chapter 14 and verse 11 again. Now, remember, he was 85 at this time. All right, at the age of 85. Joshua 14, 11. He says, before Joshua, Caleb was saying this before Joshua. He says, as yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For what? For war, both to go out and to come in. His strength was unabated. Now, for how long have you been following the Lord, my dear friends? 5 years? 10 years? All right, then what about the next 10 years? What about the next 20 years? What about the next 30 years? The Lord willing, yes, if you are still alive, would you be still serving the Lord faithfully? Yes, would you be serving Him as strong as ever? My friends, we are not talking about serving Him with physical strength. Yes, if we have, good. But I'm talking about serving the Lord spiritually. Yes, faithfully for the next, I do not know how many years the Lord is going to give you as far as your life is concerned. But if He has given you life for the next 30, 40 years, would you still be faithful in serving the Lord? Now, what is faithfulness? Faithfulness is trustworthiness. It is being dependable. Let me give you a very simple illustration of what faithfulness is. One day, certain officers approached Napoleon to recommend a young man for promotion. He was a young captain, and they wanted to recommend him for promotion. Napoleon asked, "Why do you recommend this young man for promotion?" The answer was this: "Through courage and through cleverness, he had recently won us a great victory." Napoleon said, "Good." But what did he do the next day? And the next day, and the next day. Then upon investigation, they found that this young man had gone back to his usual unzealous and casual manner of life. What Napoleon was looking for was consistency, steadfastness. In other words, what he was looking for was faithfulness. This man didn't have it, and so he was not promoted. So the question for all of us is, can the Lord count on us as He counted on Caleb? Can He? Now, I'd like us to see the rewards of following the Lord wholeheartedly. As Caleb and Joshua were granted entry into the promised land, those of us who follow Him wholeheartedly would be assured of their salvation. Yes, their reward was the guarantee that they will enter into the promised land. Now for us, our reward will be the assurance of salvation. Now if we say that we have belief in Him, the most natural outcome is that we will be following Him. It is not that we follow Him, then we are saved. But rather, if we are saved, we will want to follow Him. As there are those who are very unsure of their salvation. They have been Christians for some years, but they are unsure of their salvation. They don't feel saved. Invariably, when you talk to them, you'll find that they do not feel saved, not because of anything else, but because they do not follow the Lord wholeheartedly. They have put one foot into the kingdom of God, and the other foot remains in the world. Friends, the only way for them to be assured of their salvation is to follow the Lord wholeheartedly. Now, the next reward for following the Lord wholeheartedly for Caleb was that he was able to claim the land that was promised to him by Moses. Now, the Lord has promised us crowns and words of high commendation. Maybe one crown, all right? Not many crowns, maybe one crown. He has promised us. And He has promised us words of high commendation. He has said to us, if you are faithful to Him, I will say this to you on the day of reckoning. I'll say this to you. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, this reward will be ours, my dear friends, if we follow the Lord wholeheartedly. Now, what it means is this, if we say that we are following the Lord wholeheartedly, what it means is that we will be setting our affections on things above rather than on things on this earth. We recognize that the things of this world, as we said earlier on, are only temporal. Yes, no matter how valuable they are, no matter how precious they are, they are all temporal. They are subject to wear and tear. And then when we leave this earth, for sure we are not going to carry any of these things along with us on that day. Yes? And when we... So, if we are really following the Lord, yes, we will be seeking those things which are above and not things on this earth. What it means, my dear friends, is every day we will be wanting to do things that count for eternity. And every day we will want to do something that they do something good for the Lord Jesus Christ every day. Because why? Because we are looking forward to the day when we will be able to hear the Lord Jesus Christ say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Now, what was another reward that Caleb had for following the Lord wholly? What was another reward? The reward was not a big name. The reward was not to get wealth, but just to be given the privilege of doing and daring for the Lord. Listen carefully. That was what he was looking for. The reward was the privilege of doing and daring for the Lord. He said to Joshua in Joshua chapter 14, verse 12, the verse that we read earlier on, "Now therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." Now, what kind of adventure was Caleb looking for? It was to do and dare for the Lord. Now, what kind of adventures are we looking for today? Yes? Now, the adventure that we look for counts for nothing if it is just to satisfy the spirit of our adventure. For when the adventure is over, we will realize that it is nothing but emptiness. For it was only a pleasure for a time. For the moment, that's all. But friends, if we do and dare for the Lord, the kind of adventure that we will have will bring us joy that we will carry with us into eternity. Friends, let us do and dare for the Lord. The great missionary William Carey had this motto. He said, "Expect great things from the Lord and attempt great things for the Lord." Let us follow the Lord. And if we follow the Lord wholeheartedly, we will be given the privilege to attempt great things for Him and to do great things for Him and to expect great things for Him. And as we said, if we did all these things for the Lord, yes, they will bring us great joy. Joy that is eternal. Joy that will carry along with us when we enter into eternity. So, Caleb followed the Lord wholly. Now, what about us? Are we following the Lord wholly today? Caleb showed that he wholly followed the Lord by standing on the side of righteousness against great opposition even in the face of death. He wholly followed the Lord in that he had faith in the one true living God. He followed the Lord, yes, with faith because we see that he saw the land of promise with eyes of faith, and he regarded that land as conquerable. Then after he entered into the promised land when he was 85 years old, he didn't claim for a piece of land that was easily conquerable. No, he claimed for a piece of land that was difficult to conquer, a land that was occupied by Anakims. How could he dare to do a thing like that, except that he had faith in the one true living God? And so he said, "Give me this mountain." Here was one who was obedient to the command of the Lord. Here was one who was faithful in following the Lord, in going out to do battles for the Lord, even to a ripe old age. What about us, friends? Are we following the Lord wholeheartedly? And then for his following the Lord wholeheartedly, he received his rewards. Yes, first, he was guaranteed entry into the promised land. And then he was allotted the territory that was promised to him by Moses. And then he had the wonderful privilege of doing and daring for the Lord. If we follow the Lord wholeheartedly, we will also have our reward. Yes, if we follow him wholeheartedly, one day, on the day of reckoning, this will be our reward. We'll hear the Lord say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And along with that high commendation, if the Lord so chooses, he may give us a crown of glory, a crown of righteousness, a crown of life, or a crown of rejoicing. He might just give us one of these crowns. So, friends, Let us serve the Lord wholeheartedly, because a day will come when we will be able to hear him say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for the testimony of this great man, Caleb, who was called to be your servant. And we thank you and for his testimony, for he showed us how he followed you wholeheartedly. And he was given great privileges because he was rewarded with great privileges because he followed you wholeheartedly. We pray, O Lord God, that we may realize that if we follow you wholeheartedly, we will also be rewarded. And we pray, O Lord God, that we may all long to hear you say to us on that day of reckoning, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord." And by your grace, O Lord God, we may on that day also be receiving a crown from you. We pray, O Lord God, that we may serve you zealously, faithfully, wholeheartedly till you come again. For we pray and ask all these things in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.